And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. In the name of the Father, and of his Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, as I was reading the words of the gospel in preparation for this sermon and for this fourth Sunday of Advent, I was struck by a couple of parallels to our own time. And we read St. Luke he's really setting the scene. As he's telling the story of, now, of course, he's talking about St. John the Baptist appearing, preparing the way for our Lord, and that's 30 years after he was actually born. But nevertheless, the church puts St. John the Baptist in Advent because it's all about the preparing the way. As we know, St. John the Baptist was only 6 months older than our Lord, so we're not thinking about St. John the Baptist as a six-year-old baby announcing our Lord's coming, but nevertheless, it works very well for that idea of preparation. So it's as though those 30 years are not there. St. John the Baptist hears an Advent, and so we need to understand that. So St. Luke, as I said, is setting the scene. He's painting the picture. He's telling us the leadership in both government and in the church at the time. And he says, of course, Tiberius Caesar is reigning. He was the successor to Caesar Augustus. And the Roman Empire was nearly at the zenith of its power and expanse over the known world. Pontius Pilate was procurator, so he was appointed by the emperor to be the one in charge of Judea. And then we have these other rulers that were overseen by the Romans. They only ruled by the permission of the Romans. So it was quite the grip that they had on the country. And it says that you had these tetrarchs. Now, a tetrarch was a ruler of a fourth part of a kingdom. And so Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee. Philip, his brother, was tetrarch of two parts of the kingdom, Iturea and Trachonitis. Usually they only ruled over one district, but here he was given two, but still that title stuck, tetrarch. And Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. So again, people ruling by the favor of the Romans. And of course, this was very much disliked and despised by the zealous Jewish people because they wanted to have their own kingdom and they couldn't have it. And not only that, but the Romans would brutally suppress them when they rose up in revolt. In the year 70 AD, the Romans completely destroyed the temple and parts of Jerusalem. And then there was another destruction of Jerusalem in about the year 130, a further destruction. And Jews were forbidden to even come to Jerusalem anymore, except to fulfill, I believe, a once a year pilgrimage at the time of the Passover. So it was a government that was, you could argue, was an unjust government. It was forced on the people. And again, that makes me think of, and I don't want to get into politics, this is not what the pulpit is for, but it does seem that we're undergoing it to some extent, a forcing of a government that's not really, that really should not be there, through all the political machinations and control, and that is not necessary or should not be there. So anyway, it just struck me that way. But the other part was St. Luke mentioning the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas. And the thing to understand here is that this was a completely illegitimate priesthood. Why? Because the Romans appointed them. It was not the hereditary priesthood, high priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood coming down from the first high priest Aaron. These were political appointees. They had lost the priesthood in that sense. And I think of, in our times, how in 1968, Paul VI substantially changed the rite of ordination of bishops. And if you apply the simple logic, if you substantially change a sacrament, the sacrament goes out of existence. And I truly believe that the modern Church of Vatican II has lost the priesthood. They have lost the, and again, this is an argument that is very powerful to make, because again, not even a pope, and of course we don't believe the Vatican II popes are true popes, but not even a pope can change the essence of a sacrament. Fortunately, the priesthood continues among traditional Catholics. We are still blessed with traditional Catholic bishops, traditional Catholic priests who give us those sacraments which they alone can give. But for the great majority, they have lost it. And God allows bad things to happen, as we know. Look at the bad things that had befallen the Jewish people. And I think that God took away their human kingdom, that they, or their theocratic kingdom, so that they would focus more on the spiritual kingdom that the Savior came to bring. As we know, our Lord, when he stood before that same Pontius Pilate that was mentioned by St. Luke, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Focus on the spiritual kingship, on the spiritual kingdom. There's so many things we can't change. Isn't it true? In society, in government, in the way things are. But one thing that we can and must always change is ourselves. And this is the message that St. Luke gives us as he describes the political situation of the time of our Lord, and also the spiritual or religious setting, so to speak. Listen to St. John. He was preaching a baptism of repentance. He wasn't going around telling them, "Rise up against the Romans. Let's see if we can pull off a revolt. Cast them off." No, he said, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." And he was talking about spiritually. Repent of your sins. make your lives more pleasing to God. That you can and must do. Make straight his paths. We can think of sin and our faults as the crookedness in our daily lives, in ourselves. We need to strengthen that, to straighten that out in a life of virtue. Every valley shall be filled. The spiritual significance here is to fill up those omissions in our daily life. A valley is a, you know, it's an area that's scooped out, so to speak, and there's a void there. So when he says fill the valleys, he's talking about getting rid of those omissions that we commit, the sins and faults of omission. And every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The mountains of pride, the mountains of selfishness, bring those down. It's obviously Isaiah the prophet wasn't talking about, you know, trying to level ground in a physical manner. This was a spiritual message. So how wisely the church puts this before our eyes on the Sunday before Christmas, where our joy can hardly contain itself as we prepare for the great birth of our Lord, the great feast of his nativity. And the church is telling us what will make us pleasing to the Savior. It's telling us how to make a birthday gift to our Lord. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. So this is not a human plan for fixing things in the world. This is the divine plan. It starts with us individually. It always does. Strive to be the saint that God wants you to be. Give your heart to Jesus as the best birthday present you can. This is true for all of us. He came to give us his all. He gave his heart to us. He gave us his life. He would give his life literally on the cross for us. And he would give us a church to belong to that would still be present through all the trials and vicissitudes of human history. So then, my dear brethren, let us continue to prepare well. And we will be doing so. Is striving to put these words of Isaiah and of St. John the Baptist into practice in our own daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.